I'm drinking of the fruit of the vine anew. I'm drinking of the fruit of the vine with you. Drinking it anew with you. Drinking it anew with you. In this place of ours, in this place of ours, I'm drinking it anew with you. No more labor, no more sorrow, no more nail prints in my hands, no more thorns upon my head. In my kingdom, my Father's kingdom, everlasting joy and righteousness.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Wonderful intro. Absolutely awesome. You are all, every one of you, sovereign beings, entities of light. You've come with intended purpose. You can't be bought for money, fame. There you are. Barbara's your joy. The way she said it, that's you. Then, after that said, it's not about you walking out some individual self-aligned program. You were called for a purpose. And your loyalty cannot be bought or required of you. That's the joy and the pain of being sovereign. You have to be enticed and loved to make a gain. As you made choice to be here, so now you need to make sovereign choice to embrace a calling. A common, collective calling. We came here collectively on a mission, and it's time to lay down the program and to bring true understanding.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Insight consciousness. Now, I think that's a wonderful word. Now, let's talk about Christ consciousness. Christ was a rock that followed him in the wilderness. You are anointed. Jesus became the Christ. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the man, the one that took on a form, came in a body, and the angel told his mother to call him Yahshua. 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 I was teaching high school, Kitchen, Ontario, teaching grade 11 physics. And it was examination time. I'm wandering around the aisles watching these children regurgitating what I taught them, desperately wanting to pass, get into the next grade. Most of them, they were pretty good children. I was wandering around and I began to cry. I said, God, I didn't come for this. I said, God, I didn't come for it. I don't know what I came for. I didn't come for this. You know, and then he spoke in my mind. I heard him. He said, I've called you. Now I've been prophesied over. Yeah, I call thee. I mean, yes, many times. But when I heard his voice directly from his heart to mine, when he said to me, I've called you. And Jesus said, the man Jesus, in his higher exalted state, he can read into your mind anytime. He's already bridged the gap. I mean, he came specifically, purposely, intentionally to bring the gaps between the worlds, to bring the gaps in so many, many different ways. He spoke into my mind and he said, I've called you. Well, why did he call me? He called me so that I could respond to him. So that I could say yes to him. Right? He didn't explain to me what he called me to. He says, just the fact I heard him say, I've called you. I became a puddle on the ground right there. I was washed up. I was crying, moaning, crying around, walking around this hallway. And know what he called me to. And then difficult things came into my life. I don't want to tell you mine, you've got your own. You have your own program running in you, the things that you've experienced, and you have heard his call on your life. I'll just quote chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of the Revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you have been told that the book of the Revelation reveals Jesus Christ? Just for security's sake, put up your hand. Right, every one of us. And we all bought into it. And it's not true. It's not untrue. It's not untrue. Of course, there's a revelation of his person and being. Right? You see him all throughout the book. But it's not what that verse says. Right? Let me read it to you. Oh, no, I can quote it. This is so important. I just slow down for a minute. This terrible book that's full of errors and malign. And I love it. You know, every one of us, when we go to malign it a little bit, we use the scriptures to malign the scripture. Did you notice that? I love it. I don't doubt that there's been mistranslations, perversion. Mrs. James got into it. I don't know what she did. But the revelation of Jesus Christ, which the Father gave unto him. Don't you like that? Now, here is a being of light who took on a body and a form and who created an earth experience and walked it out and became the Christ, and he came and returned and took an angel, and by means of an angel gave a message to his beloved disciple and said to him, the introduction of the angel, what is it, Ken Terry, is some of his books, the angels come and describe how they operate. And what they do, they attune themselves to your bio programming in your mind so that they can communicate with you. Right? Kateri Christo or something, one of his first books, the angel describes how he comes out of the source itself, takes on consciousness, does the mission, and goes back. Right? And he has to program himself to your mind in order to communicate. Well, Jesus used one of those in order to communicate this whole book here and instantly program it in John's mind. And John had these experiences through that angel, right? And then it goes on to explain who the angel was, if you want to know, in the last chapter it says who that angel was. But here it is, Jesus Christ, the revelation that the Father gave him. In other words, what it's saying that this being that took on light came out of the womb of Mary by the angel's voice has been given a revelation from the eternal source itself, which caused him to incarnate on this planet and begin a program or participate in a program that had already been put in place, and he was given the final keys to that program. There's a program running on planet Earth, a program of incarnation that was put in place in order to bring restitution and correction to things that happened on this planet for many, many millennia. I'm going to say just a few words about it because I don't want to get distracted into that. I don't want to distract you from the sweet, beautiful voice that I'm talking about, this man Jesus, who is alive and well, who's very real, who's not just some disembodied general spirit that floats around in the air, but has specificity of purpose and intent, and is a being just like you, and communicates and can communicate and will communicate with you. And he's saying to you, I'm drinking of the fruit of the vine with you. Where is he drinking of that fruit? You are the fruit of the vine. You know that? The vine that was planted, it bore fruit. The grapes were picked and repressed in that consciousness that's living in you, that great joy of life that's coming in you because of the birthing of Jesus Christ in you, right? That's the wine that he's participating in, drinking with you with great joy, because finally on this planet, he's seeing an opportunity for sharing his heart and mind, which he never could do with the whole church. Hello? Now, what did he tell his disciples they were? He says, behold, I make you fishers of men. And that's what they were. They belonged to the age of Pisces, the age of the fish. They were meant to gather a church. And that church had to come out of the legalism of Moses, right? It had to birth the consciousness of grace. Grace had to come on the planet. It had the contrast of law that took a whole generation, a whole nation. I have not been sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because they bore the burden of the law so they could understand guilt. And it's those that knew guilt that could experience grace. And grace had to come. It was part of the programming for the planet. Grace had to come and be endued into human consciousness. Great and wonderful understanding had to come about what grace is. And a whole nation served the purpose to be put under the law. No other nation on the planet, no other people knew guilt like these people did. No of them suffered sin like they. They became totally under the bondage of the law. And he came to them that were under the law, was born under the law, to redeem them from the law. And that is the whole and total purpose of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And the only purpose when it pertains to sin. He didn't come to pay a price for sin that man couldn't pay. He came to redeem a contract that Israel had made on the law that they could not pay, and he paid it for them, and he redeemed them from the law so they can find a greater contract of love. That's it. Well, let's put it in simplicity. Say it simply like it is. Hallelujah. The only way you get sin is by making a contract that you can't perform. When you buy a mortgage and you say, I'm going to make that payment every month, and you don't pay it, what are you going to do? You're going to die. That is, you're going to lose the house. You agreed to it. You said, if I don't make the payments, you can have the house back. And sure enough, when you don't make the payments, guess what? These mean people and that terrible law come and take your house that you agreed to give to them if you couldn't make the payment. What's the matter with all that? It's your contract. You made it.
That's right.
Amen. Right? So then you ask yourself, after you make the contract and you feel you can't pay, and then God makes you a very simple question. He says, well, when did you ever make a contract with me in the garden, or in the beginning of time, or at any time in your relationship with me, did I ever require you to make a contract to perform in any way? And what does your answer have to be? I didn't sign it. You can't find it in the book of Genesis. It says, don't eat of the tree. Where does it say they promised not to eat of the tree? It doesn't say that. They never promised not to eat of the tree. So no guilt could be imputed to them from eating from that tree. And religion has been imputing guilt and shame on you and sin ever since the day you were born. Who's doing that? Whoever profits from it. What do you think is profits from the emotion of shame in you? Well, there are entities of darkness and semi-light that have governing principles that suck the energy of mankind and have been doing it to them ever since. And guess what? You volunteered for the program. Yeah, you saw the devastation. You saw a whole world were trapped. And you said, This needs a reality check. This needs somebody that will walk it out in reality. And you found a mission. Hallelujah. You found a captain. He says, well, I want to go. Well, we need a captain for this. And somebody says, well, I have a revelation from my Father how this can be done. He says, well, I'll follow you, Jesus. I don't mind you being, I want you to be greater than me. I want you to be above me. I want you to be stronger, more powerful. I want to follow after you. And he says, I don't want to follow you. I don't want you to follow me, Rufus. You can follow me as long as you need to, yes. You can follow me as long as you need to, but I want to empower you because I want to walk with you. I want you to become what I am. I don't want you to just learn of me. I don't want you to just be obedient to me. I want you to become what I am because, in essence, you are what I am. We came together in the Father's purpose and will.
Right.
Hallelujah. And what was our purpose? To incarnate on this planet.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And to institute a program on this planet that would resolve the issues of the universe, of the cosmos, of all living, all life forms in many different degrees and dimensions. Guess why they're all around looking at you? They're here.
Yes.
They're here in physical spaceships. There's people in this audience to tell you about it. Yeah. They're here in Merkabas, in other kinds of non-material ships, and they communicate. They have a purpose. They have a plan. Some of them good, some of them bad. Some in between. Some for you, some against you. I don't know. Some of them look terrible and had some experiences with them, had to drive them away. And guess what she said to them? They came to her with the long eyes, you know, and the skinny, the grayish skin. These little guys, and they came to get her. You read stories about it? And when they came to do it to her, he said, unless you are come, what might you say? Come on, listen to this.
I said, as a man you leave, if you're not in accordance with Yeshua the Messiah, and the purpose
of the Amen. Now, I recommend that you find all about Buddha and Zeus and read all about the extraterrestrials. Find out anything you need to find out you're free. You are totally free. You need to find out what's going on. You need to place yourself. And then I want you to really, really close to this and say, well, why did I come? Right? And then you need to know that if you came with him, then he needs your total loyalty. Right? He doesn't require it of you. Right? Just like Barbara does. She says, how am I going to lead? I'm going to lead my example. But don't you think that I'm up here and I just use myself to speak about, let me talk about Barbara. It's a lot easier, right? She speaks truth and light and gives her whole source and being. You think she's just telling it so you have something else to think about? Even though she said she's totally free, there's nothing, no requirement of her, but she wants you with all her heart and soul for you to take hold of that which lies in you, which is akin with her, so that we can walk together and accomplish the great, wonderful purpose for which we become incarnate, planted in this earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't want loyalty on obligation. You don't want loyalty. Let me talk about Jesus. A lot of you talk about Jesus, right? Sort of externalize a little bit. But it's really not separate from you and I. It's not what's separate from what's you're in your heart. If you know him, you know yourself. If you've met him, you've met yourself. And he'll say to you, if you don't say it to you the first time, he says, I'm you. If you want to understand the mystery, I'm you, you're me. Right? Well, when he called me, do you think that he was thinking, well, Rogers, I don't really care what you do. You know, just be free. Go be yourself. You think so? I don't think so. All right, here I am. My beautiful, wonderful first wife, pregnant. And we're out. I heard him, you know. He said, I called you, so I went to resign. I knew I wasn't going to be a school teacher all my life. He said, well, you know, he said to me, he said, the teaching profession is too small for you. He knew how to get me out. I imagined the rest of my life sitting in a box that I couldn't fit in. Whoa, I didn't want that. Thank you, Jesus, I'm out today. That day, I went and wrote my resignation. There, sitting, talk about these terrible scriptures, right? I'm sitting in the office, and I'm looking around, I'm writing my letter of resignation to the school board, and I'm thinking, all at once I begin to think of what I could have been. I was assistant head of the department, I could become the head of the department, and I could become... And then, these perverted scriptures came into my mind. This Holy Spirit that I love likes to use this terrible King James Version. I can't understand it. I don't try to understand. There's some stuff here I know is not right. When he, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, anybody that knows Hebrew or Greek knows that the Holy Spirit is feminine. So how did that he get in there? Well, some frustrated priest put it in there. That's obvious. Right? All right, so I could go that road, but I don't want to. But the Holy Spirit said to me, a good soldier does not entangle himself. A good soldier does not entangle himself with the things of this world. Peter said it to Timothy, I think it was. A good soldier does not, right while I was wanting to entangle myself, the Spirit said, a good soldier, what about a soldier? A soldier has a mission, he has a rank, he has a position, he has a calling, he has loyalty to a country, to a fatherland, to a flag, that's me. Hallelujah. And I love the United States. I think it's totally beautiful. I love it from shore to shore. I love the national anthem. Even though I was born here, I'm every bit an American. I love God's purpose. It's Jesus' country. All the rest of it, but that's not my country. I came from a greater country. I came from a greater fatherland. I came from a higher flag. I came from a higher frequency flag. I've committed my soul and my being and my loyalty to an intent and a purpose. And I tend to meet it with all my soul, right? And Jesus called me so gently. So I was just walking around and he said, I have called you. The teaching profession is too small for you. That gave me the power and the energy to walk away from it. Well, 2 years later, or a year later, I'm sitting there in a place where you get a temporary job. What do you call that? I'm sitting there trying to find a day's work to get my mortgage paid. Keep some food on the table, right? And Jesus said to me, he said, This is why do I want to put myself on open display? Because I know you couldn't be in this meeting, you wouldn't hang around this man if you didn't have the same kind of a deep soul longing in you for a greater reality than the mishmash of religion and the mishmash of understanding that's floating around that just doesn't make sense. Excuse me. I love all my brethren. And they all have a place and a purpose. But I tell you what, there's a frequency of light and understanding coming. There's a way for us to understand our incarnation. There's a way for us to understand why we're here and who we are. And it's not just totally up for grabs. It doesn't matter what you believe. Yes, in some sense, it does. I will love you. I will fellowship whoever comes, whatever they believe. But I promise you, there is truth and awakening coming that help us understand the human paradigm, that can help us understand why we're in the flesh, what our purpose is in the flesh, and it's not to find some escape hole and become some kind of a super-duper immortal being to get out of here. It's not the program for me. I don't mind if someone has their program, but I didn't come here to get out. I came here to get in. I came here to become human, and I want to be every bit of it. I want to feel every bit of it. I want to embrace all of it. I want to be totally what I am. I came on a mission. I was in that greater world of light and glory before, and I didn't want to stay there. I wanted to come in these lower planes and find myself, find my identity, find my purpose, and give my loyalty to a man called Jesus. That's why I came. Hallelujah. No, I can't say that everywhere. If half our audience here was Buddhists, I wouldn't be promoting Jesus to them. I'd be telling them how wonderful Buddha was. Whatever, I don't know what it would be. Right? Because it's not about that. It's not about a competition. It's not about comparing Jesus. How can you compare a man who says that he has a revelation from the Father for the whole cosmos? And how can you compare that to any other man on this planet? It's not possible. Jesus is one of the great masters. And if someone sees us as a great master, I grant they give them that. Of course he's a great master. If some of them see him as the greatest prophet or one of the prophets, I'm happy with them seeing him as a prophet. If some see him as a great man who was a great teacher, that's all true about him. So why would I want to fight them for the Father? Of course not. There's no competition. But if I've seen him for who he is, you think I'm going to compromise for something less?
Now,
hallelujah. So, 2 years later, I'm thinking, this is rough road. And I'm sitting somewhere in the driveway in a little Volkswagen, and I get out the newspaper, and I think, well, maybe. No, I was sitting in this place of temporary employment. Guess who's sitting there? One of my students. She said, "Hello, hello, Teach, what are you doing here?" Hello? Yeah, okay. So I'm sitting in this little Volkswagen, and I pick up the newspaper, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I could go teach in Orangeville. Nobody knows me over there. Right? See, this great faith, I didn't have it. I didn't have a great faith or the great power. I just had a deep love in me, a great longing for this man called Jesus. Because why? Because he came to me. I didn't invent him. Right? He came to me. So I was sitting there, and I was looking at the newspaper. And all at once I have a vision. I didn't know I was having a vision, because I heard about people having visions, you know. But the fun thing was, I didn't even know I was having one. There was, I was in a vision, and I was Peter in the boat. And Peter saw Jesus on the shoreline, and Peter had just been through the greatest devastation of his life. The thing that he put all his hope in, right? Jesus of Nazareth, who was to be the king of Israel, who was to deliver them from the Romans. He had all his imagination all built up for a great, wonderful, glorious kingdom. Then he went and died on him. Went and died, and even said he's supposed to do that. And he says, well, I go fishing. Right? That's what Peter said. So there I was, going fishing, right? And I was in the boat, Peter, and there was Jesus on the shore. And Jesus was looking at me. And his face, you know, his face to me was total acceptance. And I went and shared it with Karen's father, who was my mentor at the time. And I told him the vision. He said, Locus, you were just trying to renege on your calling. Have you done that yet? Oh, yeah. What it does it create? Creates tremendous repentance. Your soul, like you've ever experienced. It's not about forgiveness for sin. It's not about giving your soul claims or something. Yeah, that's all true. But when you found the true love of your soul and then you try to walk away from it and you said, Lord, right? And he came and I saw his face, and his face was totally accepting towards me. Right? And you know, Barbara, it took me 15 years, even though his face was of total acceptance, it took me 15 years to figure out that what he hid from me was his pain and disappointment. He didn't put any pain and disappointment on me, right? You think that he would have been A-okay, happy? I have a wonderful friend, and I love this friend really dearly. And this person, this friend had a vision, and in this vision they saw Jesus, and the butterflies were all around him. And some of them were lighting on him, and some of them were just floating around him, and some of them lighted and flew off, and some of them lighted on him and stayed on, right? And when she told me the vision, I thought, whoa. And I knew what Jesus was saying through that moment. He's just saying, I love you unconditionally. You can land, you can fly off, you can go and read, do whatever you need. And then I saw the vision of broken me and all broken me, because I don't want to fly around. I don't want to fly and land. I want to land in his heart and I'll be there forever.
Yes.
See, and guess what? Because I feel that way about him, Mr. Faye, I feel about you. If I really get connected with you, yeah, you can walk away from me. And I'm going to quit loving you. I've had people walk, you've had people walk, and you kept loving them. But it's not because you wanted to walk away. It's not because it doesn't cause tremendous pain, but you learn to live with that pain. It's the price you pay for being incarnate and being part of a man who bears the wounds of separation of man and God in his soul and walks it out from the beginning to the end and brings restitution and wholeness. And I want to be just like him, Gary. I want to be just like him. I want to be able to love like he loves. I want to be able to touch like he touched. And he says, you are a locus. Slowly, right? Slowly we'll believe him when he talks to us. So then, 15 years it took for me to realize that even though he showed me his face and showed me great acceptance in his heart and soul, he felt the pain of my wanting to walk away. Right? Hallelujah. Yeah, I can't, I don't want to talk like this. I don't want to talk like this to people that don't know him. Why would I do that? Why would it make someone feel as though they're less? I did that to my brothers for years, trying to convert them to Jesus and trying to get them involved in the Holy Ghost. And finally, I had to repent. I had to go to them, hey, I'm sorry. I made you feel less. Because I have a relationship with God and that made you feel not less. God doesn't love you because you're so loyal to him. God doesn't love you because you're spiritual. God doesn't love you because of any gifts you have or because of any good you do. God doesn't love you for any of the reasons that you love one another. We love one another. I love you. I see you beautiful. I see your glory. And I love you because of it. I get connected. But God doesn't love his creation like that. God loves all things completely and totally to whatever degree they're able to receive his love, he loves. See? Right? So why would I feel any less? But even though I wouldn't have any man feel less, neither will I compromise and say that this that I'm a part of it is just another one of the programs, one of the other spiritual programs running on this planet that you can use for a self-improvement program. I'm going to say that. I don't mind if people do that. Whatever you need to do for a self-improvement program is wonderful. But I tell you what, there is a program that was sent from the Father, from the eternal realm, in order to bring redemption to this planet. And it's the one and only program, and that's why Jesus said, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. We didn't mean that you can't be a Buddhist or you can't be a whatever it is you can be and find God. I didn't mean that. He said, if you're part of this great and wonderful purpose and plan to redeem the planet, the only good way you're going to find your wholeness in that plan is through me, because the key for it has been given to me. I have the authority given from heaven to institute this program. And if you're part of the program, the only way you can come there is by me. And I'm repeating it. That's the way it is. Sorry. Hallelujah. There's only one program. There's many good things you can do. Yes, you can become part of the Salvation Army and help thousands of people. And I think that's good. But if in your soul and in your heart you know that you've been called from the Father and that you've never been able to fit in anywhere else anyway, then just go ahead and give him your loyalty. Just do it. Say, okay, Jesus, that's it. Talk to me. And even if you don't talk to me, however you come to me, I'll walk it out with you. And I'm going to cling to those that, if I don't know you, if you know him, see, inside, even though your mind doesn't know him, and even though you don't think you're communicating with him, then stick close to somebody that does, until it rubs off. Right? Right? Works, doesn't it, Francis? Absolutely it works. And it's okay. Paul said, be ye followers of me, as I am of Christ. Right? Why? Because they couldn't follow Christ. They couldn't see him, didn't know him. Right? So I'm willing. You need to be willing that some will want to follow you. And you'll sort of have to be careful and ward them off because they don't want to buy you with their money and their gifts sometimes, right? We do that because we don't know how to get in favor with someone. So we try to give them what we think they need, right? And then when it's disappointing, then they walk away. They will. And it's okay for them to walk away. Right? But don't let them not follow you. Right? Who will get followed? They won't follow you. You're not willing for them to follow you until they learn to be here within themselves. Hear the voice of God. And you know, when they hear the voice of God, they'll say, I don't need you. I don't need to follow you. And you'll say, that's right. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad you woke up. Right? And he says, I was wondering if you're ever going to get the message. And you feel a little hurt and you act a little hurt, but really in your soul, you're so happy. You feel the pain because they withdraw their love for a while. And it's okay for them. They need to. Because if they truly hear from God, guess what? They're going to come running back to you and say, I want to walk with you because I know now you have the reality I'm looking for. See? So what are we talking about? Get rid of the phrase, no little U's and big I's. Get rid of it. Dump it. It's your fear, your frustration, because you've never been validated from the Spirit. Because if you're part of Him, there's a place for you. And if there's a place for you, there's some that need to follow you. And there's some that you need to follow. You need to be part of something bigger than just your own awareness of the great God of glory in life. Hallelujah. But let there be nothing in you or I to require anything of any man. You know. As, you know, we need to maybe cast some despair on religion where we come from to fee ourselves. Yeah, you sort of have to knock preachers a little bit and they're in it for the money. Yeah, you've heard it all. Go ahead, if you have to do some of that, do it, but get rid of it. Get rid of it. Because one of the reasons she's angry at him, because you have the courage yourself to walk in the glory of your own life and your purpose. So you catch condemnation and those that try and don't do as well as you think they should do. Come on, get real in your soul. How do I know all that? Because I've done it. Right? Can we get real about this a little bit? If I mentioned the man's name, you'd know him, sitting in the service where I thought I should have been sharing. I got so jealous. You ever felt jealous? You ever felt the pain? It was like a green-eyed monster going through your soul. You say, I got this wonderful, beautiful voice. Why don't you make room for me? And you do have a beautiful voice, my brother. And we've totally enjoyed you this weekend. And I want you to know you're honored, whether anything is said to you or not.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Right? Hallelujah. So I was sitting there and I felt, and for the first time in my life, I had the courage to ask. Huh? Where that came from, I guess what Spirit was telling me was taking hold. You know, what I was ministering, talking about was becoming real. Don't be afraid of your emotions. Your emotions are the most wonderful thing you got. Your emotions are the interface between the spiritual reality, all coming back to me, and here I'm sitting there having this powerful emotion that I want to pretend I'm not having, because the spiritual purpose knows to get jealous, right? Reality check. You're in a human body. And the purpose isn't for you to clean it up. The purpose for you is to integrate. The purpose for you is to embrace it. The purpose for you is to walk in your humanity. It's the purpose for you to understand every emotion that courses through your soul and to let it be there until you master it. Not master it so you don't have it, but master it so it serves you instead of you serving it. That's true mastery. Hallelujah. Right? Understand jealousy. Understand anger. Understand disappointment. Understand how they serve the purpose of evolving human consciousness. Understand how they serve the great program of the Father of incarnation on this planetary program that we're a part of in Adam. And I tell you what, if you listen to the angels, go ahead, if you haven't done it, go on the internet, listen to the angels. They're all channeling many different levels and sources of energy, but they have one thing in common with all the angels is they are full of admiration for the Adamic species. They're full of admiration for humankind because of your tremendous courage. They see that you get it in your soul and the diseases hit your body and you walk it out. You don't give in to the disappointment and the pain and the religious condemnation that gets put deep down, but you continue to walk it out, trusting and believing. That's the great admiration of the heavenly hosts, the spiritual realms that need you for their redemptions. They don't understand where they are. They need understanding, as only those that walk it out in reality, in a physical form, that can bring truth and light of the evolving of human consciousness. We, as a species and as a kind, and particularly those of us that came consciously for this purpose. There's a lot of joyriders along. There's a lot who didn't know what else to do. They just got on the train. There's some that needed reprogramming. They need another 5 lifetimes. I don't know what it is. They're on a self-improvement mission. They can use it for a self-improvement. All of it's okay. But some came because of a mission, because they met a man called Jesus. They heard a call for salvation. They heard a call for redemption. They heard the program in the heart of the Father longing for his creation. They said, I want to be part of it, if that's what you are. Right? That's what you are. Hallelujah. So you need to understand what happens in your body. It's the vehicle given to you to accomplish your purpose. It's the most precious thing you have, is this physical mortality that's subject to pain, disease, it's subject to jealousy and to anger and disappointment. And it is your great privilege for participating in incarnation. And it's incarnation that's the program of the Father to redeem the unseen worlds that have never incarnated. If you want to know, when you read a book, and you want to know where they're coming from, find out what, first of all, what they do is in Genesis. If it's a religious book, find out what they say about Genesis. And if they use it to condemn you, you just put the book aside. It's just part of the, they don't really want to understand what the trees were about, what the snake was about. Put it aside. And if it's a channeled material, if it seeks to disembody you, and many of them do, many of them think that embodiment is just an entrapment into physical, and for many it is. I tell you what, there are many entities that are trapped in physical mortality that need to get out, and they're here to learn lessons, and they've been here chained in bondage for a reason and a purpose. But if that channel material, that angel, wants to get you disembodied, lay the book aside. Read it far enough to know what you want, but don't allow the thought in you if you know. If you don't know, read it all, find out. But if you know that you were sent into this body, then don't allow the things that want to come to disembody you and distract you from your earth experience. And I tell you what, it can come in real subtle forms. It'll come in a very loving way, a loving, very loving creature, subtly attacking the very, very root of why you came. And you won't even know it. But you'll feel something inside. Something's not witnessing for me. And it doesn't mean that that particular ministry that you isn't the truth and light and isn't wonderful. No, but if it's not your truth, right? If it's not harmonizing what you're hearing, then you just need to listen to it and say, well, I can't really participate. It's not my food. It's not what I'm eating on. Then it's okay to do that. I invite you to do that with me. If that's how you feel about what I'm saying, hey, free yourself. Right? It's a wonderful free universe. The wonderful, most wonderful thing about the universe that people haven't understood that it is for us. Maybe not for all. Maybe not for all angels, not all beings of darkness or light. But for us, it is a free will universe. You were given the most wonderful, like I said last night, the most wonderful thing you've been given is the ability to form a consciousness. And that ability to form a consciousness comes with the empowerment of choice. You are free to choose. You can choose, like Gary said so beautifully in our opening service, he says, I choose to love. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that freeing to you? Because you say, well, how can I love? How can I work up this emotion of love? If you don't have it, you don't have it. If God doesn't give it to you. No. No, you are a wonderful being of light, and you can say, even if I don't know how to love, I choose to love because I came from the source of long life and life, who is love and perfection, so I know that the essence of me has to be love, and therefore, even if I don't know how to go there, I choose to love. That's the great power in you. Your great empowerment of your life is your ability to focus on something and to choose. And you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. If you know him, you have the power to choose him.
Hallelujah. You have the power. I've chosen you, but I'm not leading the program. I'm choosing you. I'm waiting for you to choose me. I had a wonderful experience that way. And maybe a couple more things I want to say. Thank you. I was so happy to be able to share with you last night, but I knew there was something else. And I would have got home if it hadn't happened. I'd been all right. I'm a survivor, just like you are. But I knew there was something else had to be said, not just for me, but for us. Something has to be said. There has to be a clarion, clear call. And sometimes the way you know that a clarion, clear call has to be made is because a muddled sound comes. And you say, whoa, where did this muddled sound come from? I'm not making this muddled sound. Where did that come from? And it says, it's meant to bring contrast. It's meant for you to challenge to stand up. Not to contradict anything any person is saying or being, but to make a sound, a loud, clear sound of what I am and why I came. Not just so that you can hear it, but so that I can hear it so deep in my soul that I'll never wander from it. I want to love myself. I've been called, I've been chosen, deep from the foundation of the world, all that wonderful stuff. But I make it the privilege of my own being because He called me, and because of who I am, and because I know, Johnny, that I have the power to become what I see that I can become. I gladly, willingly choose to imprison myself to this man called Jesus of Nazareth and become part of His purpose, His revelation that He says that He has. I don't know, He doesn't just say it. I know it. For a while, it has to be just something He says to you. But when you feel His heart, when you feel the beauty of His soul, when He woos you, is the word woo or woe? Woo. Sometimes it feels like woe. But when He draws you into, and you see the greatness of His soul, I says, Jesus, how can you love all those wonderful Pentecostal people that I can't get off. Oh, that's admiration plus. Yes, I want to be like Him. So it begins out of a desperation of need, that you need Him. Then it sort of translates into a feeling of privilege and you want to. And then comes that great moment when you know you have the power to choose. You are sovereign. And you choose Him, not because He's chosen you, but you choose Him because you know it's your destiny in the Father Himself, that you came out of the light, and that your purpose is to align yourself with this man called Jesus, and you gladly call Him Lord, and you gladly call Him King, and I don't mind if you worship Him, right? You don't want to be worshipped so much. He wants to find alignment with you. He wants to merge His mind and His heart into you. He wants to, as somebody said it here today, I think it was Anna was saying it, is saying it's going to happen to every one of you. Everyone is going to have an experience, and I include myself in that, where our heart mind is open and we have heart mind communication, channeling, if you like, with His heart mind. And we will be given an introduction of His purpose that's only seen in the book by symbols and by types and parables, and He'll come and He'll show it to you in reality for your own soul, for your own being. Hallelujah. I'm drinking of the fruit of the vine. You know how that began, don't you? His last moment before His death, He wanted to have a little tete-a-tete with His disciples. He had one more moment, one more opportunity to communicate with Him, the depth of His soul, and try to get Him to understand the greatness of His mission that extended far beyond the limited perception of Him healing the sick and of flouting the Pharisees and of challenging the Roman Empire and all that. And it was a mission far beyond all that, but He couldn't communicate it to them because their minds couldn't receive it. The mind weren't big enough. They weren't translated. And so He said, well, I'm going to set up a scenario so you can, even if you can't hear it now, down through the age that's coming, my light will penetrate and there will be those that come, that came with me in the beginning, that will hear. So I'm going to put up this little scenario. I'm going to make a living dream. I'm going to act something out. And he had a dream about it and he saw it ahead of time just like you did. He saw the event before it happened. He saw him clothing himself, girding himself with a linen towel, washing the feet of his disciples. And he said to his disciples, he said, go into the street and you'll see a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house, right? And of course, the man being the pitcher of water is the sign of Aquarius. We're following him into the house, right? The house, the houses of the zodiac, we're following. We're coming into the beginning of the sign of Aquarius. This is called the sign of the Son of Man. When you see the sign of the Son of Man, know that your redemption draws nigh. What is that? It's the awareness. The redemption is the awareness and the truth and the resurrection in you of a former knowing that you had before you ever came into material flesh, right? That's your redemption, right? And then he said to them, follow him and there do what? Prepare a place for us. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're preparing a place for us. A place in the upper stories. A place in consciousness. Where a body of people can communicate and walk together, and he says, where I can walk with you, talk with you, be with you, we can be one in the joy of our Father. I'm the love, joy, and happiness that comes from deep within, we'll share it. And together, he says, I will not, he said, drink of the fruit of the vine. He lifted up the cup, he said, this is a testament in my blood, drink it, all of it. And he says, I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink of that real wine, of which this is just a poor symbol. The real wine is the mind communication that I want with you, that goes beyond the limits and the boundaries of your limited perceptions of self, that you're going to have to break through your carnal misperceptions of God and reality, that I must help you to break until I can flow with you, where you'll let go of all the thoughts of unworth and shame that you've created, and break through all that, and we can walk together with our Father in light and bring the great eternal plan of redemption to fruition on this planet. See, that's what he said to them. He said, henceforth will I drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom. And he says, I can't tell you much, but I'll tell you this much, that your whole perception of leadership is totally screwed up. He says, Lord, which of us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Right, you've been there, we've been through all that. That's the ego perceptions of reality serve the ego. They don't serve the higher world. You have to die to them to get in the higher world, but there's nothing wrong with the ego. Right? The ego is a very poor servant in those higher realms, but he's a wonderful servant to help you drive on the right side of the road, brush your teeth, be kind to your wife. All kinds of wonderful stuff. Yeah. Run your body programs. Right? The ego's a wonderful thing. Don't be knocking it so much. Guess where you'd be without one? Puddle. Nothing. No reaction, no program, no desire, no nothing. It's just, well, just an unformed blob. Piece of flesh with bones in it, but that's it. No personality. No, nothing. Nothing like wonderful Carol. I love her personality because it's so beautifully different that you just never know exactly what she's going to say. Don't you love it? Yeah. I don't want us all become the same and smoothed over with some fudge or some stuff smeared over and all become some imaginary thing we call Christ-like. Now, be what you are. And then when you interact and you find, hey, I wish I hadn't said that. Then go to that person and say, man, I felt bad about what I said. I don't want to say it. I don't know exactly why I feel badly about it. But be real. It's far better to be real. Right? Be what you is, you know, until you understand yourself, until you understand why you love people, until you understand why it's important to be kind to them, why, you know, just, and we're doing that beautifully. This, I mean, have you ever been in more freedom than this weekend? Right? Be what you is. Be what you is. You think that Gary doesn't mean that he's not involved in what's happening in his plan, man. Absolutely not. He's just granting you liberty and freedom. It's wonderful. That's the master of the house. All right. Where about that? I'll finish now.
He is what you
be, right? So don't knock the ego. but it can't take you into the higher realm. So then you need, and this is where Paul used the analogy of being crucified with Christ. He used the idea of crucifixion to help you understand the death that has to come in you, where you realize that the ego programming you is a reflection of your higher self that has served your humanity, your human experience. It's not really who you are. It's more than an illusion. Don't buy into the idea that this God's not in the illusion, that this is an illusion you need to get out of. Don't buy into it. You didn't choose to come into an illusion. You came into material consciousness. You came into physicality. You came into incarnation, a chosen program from the eternal Father of Life that uses the illusionary nature of physical reality to accomplish an eternal, wonderful program. Come on, let's say it right. There is a way to say it, right? There is a way for each one of us to find a way to say it. The words will, somebody said it this weekend. We need, oh, I don't remember who it was you. He says, we will find the words. Well, yeah, but we won't stereotype them. We will find the language. We're going to have the language. And we'll know that the language is in us from before the world ever was. We have the language in it. And it will be given to us when we find the courage to walk out of whatever's not sufficient. You will be given the language in you.
Yes.
I'm getting distracted, though, because I was on something else. I'm finished. It's wonderful. Yeah, the ego doesn't serve you. The ego serves you beautifully in the programming of the conscious mind. And then you need to know that this experience of you that you're having is a projected reality from your higher being. Even if you don't know, Johnny, that your higher being exists anywhere, you can't form an imagination of it, you can't touch it, you can't attach anything to it, but believe me, it exists. Right? The first awareness I had of it, Carol, sitting in a little room in a circle somewhere, and people got talking about outer space. There's, what does Paul say? There's grace in outer space. She's talking about aliens. They said, oh God, I only hear about this. And she tuned in, and the Spirit said to her, I'm connecting you to your light body. Whoa, that was really wonderful stuff to me. I heard a little bit about light body. You know, the channeled material has words about light body. And that was a real big breakthrough for me to hear that word. You know, begin to hear, begin to see, well, where would I need a light body? Well, clearly in the light is where I need a light body. That is, there's a formation of consciousness of what I am in every realm of existence. See, now that comes sort of to me, I don't have to know exactly how that works, that isn't all that. I just need to know that this experience of me in this plane is where I need to be. And in order to embrace it, I need to know that I'm more than this. You need some experiences. Your wife needs to have them, like me, or you need to have them yourself, or you need to read them about them in a book or something to take you out of the limited perceptions of your ego identity. But the ego identity is your great treasure. It's in the earth. The treasure is in the earth. It's not in heaven. There was a man who found the treasure that was hidden in the earth, and he left the eternal glory to participate in consciousness here in incarnate form. He took on the body like you. That's how badly he wanted to be with his own. Right? The treasure's in the earth. It's in having a body. That's where the treasure is. The treasure, because we are on the sharp edge of the unfolding of consciousness and all the angelic work. I don't know if I said that when I got on the angels there a minute ago. The angels will communicate that. You read about it. We are on this. In fact, somebody was, you were reading it to me from Ken Carey's book. The angel speaking. And it's saying in that book, it's saying how it sees us on the sharp edge of evolving consciousness, not just for humankind, but for all worlds, cosmic things, right? Wow, if you could let the angel give you that awareness, because everything in you wants to depreciate this limited existence. Because inside of you, you know you're unlimited, and you fight against this little egg that you find yourself in, right? This little shell, you want to pick it, and knock it, and break it. Ah, and you can only become thankful for it when your perception leaves it. And then you can live in it. Then you can live in the body and glorify God in the body and say, a body thou hast prepared me. I come to do thy will, O God. But only Amen? So, if the ego serves you well, and I want to say that so much because it's so much contrary to what we've been taught. We've been taught so much things against your personality, against your physical body, against... And it was needful. It was needful because you're trying to break out and have a greater awareness. Right? But your limited awareness of self, your imperfect seeming body, is perfect to your light body. It's perfect opportunity for your light self, your light being, to communicate itself into this physical plane, to incarnate. Because it's the one that wants to incarnate. It's your light body and your light being that wants to experience this earth form. Right? And you are the perfect opportunity. And we are the ones in transitions. We're bridging the gap. We're beginning to realize we are eternal, that we live in many realms, that we live in many forms. We have many realms of existence simultaneously, but we're here in this earth form to bring all things together, and most of all, and specifically. And I want to end with this, because I think I've sort of said it. Let me say just a couple more things. Don't want to leave it undone. There's a tremendous building sitting in Egypt. They made a copy of it here in Memphis, Tennessee. You drive along 40, you can see that pyramid sitting there. It's prophesied of in Jeremiah, and it's called the Lord Himself will raise us as a sign on the border of Egypt and at the center of Egypt. And the pyramid is sitting at the center of an arc that describes the delta of Egypt. So it's in the center, and it's also on the border. It's referring to the pyramid, and it's called a sign of Yahweh. It's in the scriptures. Paul refers to it. He says, when he talks about Jesus, who was made the capstone of the corner. Right? The headstone of the corner, and the body fitly in a pyramid shaped together. He's the apex. You know something about the pyramid? Every stone in the pyramid is six-sided. That's human form. But there's a special stone. There's only one stone that needs to look like the whole thing. Right? All the stones don't need to look like the whole thing. But the capstone has to look like the whole thing. If you put it up there, it has to be that top, and it's a miniature of the whole. Why? So that we can understand the whole. Somebody had to be it. He became that. Became an earth form, took on your woundedness, the woundedness of your soul, your jealousy, your disappointments, your fear, your disempowerment, took it on his body, made you look at it and say, this is human, don't be afraid of it. Experience it like I do. Got crucified to show you that you're crucified. Took your wounds to show your wounds. And made it so you would bear your wounds. Didn't do it so that you wouldn't bear your wounds. He made it so that you be empowered to bear the woundedness of your broken existence, because it's your broken existence that the eternal worlds of life need in order the Father to incarnate himself in human form. He needs a broken body. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to finally see the truth? Hallelujah. Wonderful secrets. Well, that great pyramid, if you want to understand what it was mechanically, who created it and why it was created, you need to read Zechariah. Read about it. It's a landing beacon for spaceships. Wonderful. Can't believe it. Read some of the stuff. But here's something. If you do read, I want to show you something. For millenniums, there have been programs of incarnation on this planet. The Adamic program is not the only program of incarnation. I'll just say briefly, you can think about it, read about it. I want to just align myself a little bit with Barbara, where she went. She really feels that we need to say something like this. I want to avoid saying stuff like this. I want you to find out yourself, because it's not what we're really about. We're really about the focus that came at the beginning of me, our loyalty and a commitment to the man called Jesus to perform the eternal program for which we came. And the only way to do it is to connect ourselves with him by choice. He's already connected with you. They're already, I'm so glad you came from across the pond. He said, there's a real possibility that some of his ancestors are the same as mine. So they haven't met them. beautiful couple from Holland, yet you need to connect little Joshua who's been running around here all weekend so beautifully. I'm glad you came. And there have been many programs of incarnation on this, and there's been tremendous manipulation of the genetics and misuse of incarnation. That's what Barbara was referring to. You need to find out yourself. But a plan was made in heaven. A plan was made about incarnation. The eternal source itself gave a revelation to Jesus, and some of it leaked out. Like, you know, like if Walmart decides to buy a certain piece of property to bring in a Walmart in a new position, if that gets out at the wrong time, they'll have to pay 10 times the amount for the land they want to pay. But it does, it leaks out. And so there are people that do try to peer into the program of the Father, try to discern what the Father's will is, and then they want to use that for their own ends. Just like you see in this plane, you see it all. If you want to understand the heavens, you look at the earth. Right? This is where you see the birds in heaven, that's where the carcass is. The earth and the heaven are connected, right? So whatever you see in this plane, whatever goes on, is going on here because it's going on somewhere else in a higher plane because it wants to be seen in order to be released. See? Alright, so if there was a program of the Father in place to incarnate on this planet, others presumed on that program and for their own ends created beings of matter and form and then tremendously abused. And if we would know, and some writers said this and I'll repeat it and I think it's true, if we would remember the abuse that's been done to us, we would rise up in such terrible anger that we would destroy everything in our path. How terrible the abuse. And we see some of it. If you don't see a child being abused, why do you think he gets so angry? It brings an anger in me like nothing else, and it's done so in our society, and we're doing something about it. But why? Because in our childish innocence, mankind was grossly abused and raped, mind raped, into programs of understanding that were not part of the eternal plan of the Father. This is what Barbara referred to. And we've come to bring that correction. But I promise you that the purpose of incarnation was designed before all that interruption took place. We are not only remedial to some misperverted, we are instituting a program of the Father because the eternal Father himself wants to answer the question that he himself said. And he wants to make it known that what he says about himself is true, and that is, I am love. That's the purpose of the Father's heart. That's the source of all purpose and intent in the heavenly realm. And when you understand that joy in the Father's heart, that he wants to know his own love, then you can bring true alignment to every purpose that you're involved in. You stand that purpose right in the middle of whatever you're involved in, and it will bring alignment to everything that is. And that's our purpose. That's our origin. That's our source. Whatever your body came from, I don't fully know. Whether there was some manipulation that helped create your physical form. But when you entered it, when you came here and you took on this form, you did so by the will of your Heavenly Father. You're not subject to any kind of control, to any kind of manipulation or segregation. You are not the product of any lie or any misconception. You are the result of your own Father's loving will and desire. That's the message of Jesus.
Amen.
When you look at the woundedness of your life, know that you bear these wounds for humanity, for the cosmos. Know it that you were sent from the Father. Jesus came and created a hologram in human experience, and he says, look at me, look at me. And if you look at me and believe on me, what does he want you to believe? Believe that what you're looking at is you. Identify. He wants you to believe it about him. He knows it about him. Doesn't need your help to believe it about him. He wants you to believe when you look upon that cross, when you see his wounds, when you see him forgiving his enemies, when you see him proclaiming his purpose before Pilate, when you see him describing himself to the Pharisees and to his disciples, when you see him healing the sick and raising the dead, and you can get stuck on that one, but still believe it, that you have the power and the ability to be everything that he is, and more so, you have the ability in consciousness and in self to identify and proclaim yourself to be what he's showing himself to be to you. That's the purpose of God. That's the purpose of Jesus coming. It's far more than a redemption from some misalignment and some mistake and some purpose. It's a purposeful, driven, intended program to help you to become, evolve in consciousness what your Father's heart desire was from you from the beginning. I can't say it any more magnificently than that. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it releasing? Doesn't it help you resolve all that you've walked through? Doesn't it give you grace to all your Baptist friends? They need to believe whatever they believe. To try and live, but for shame, man, they got to believe there's somebody really bad around that does that. If I had that kind of shame, you'd want to be believed that somebody did it to you. It's not the product of your own thinking. It's only when you master the God in you and know that you're divine, that you came from the eternal source, only then can you begin to entertain the thought that shame was created in you by your own thinking for the purpose of your evolution. That's what it means to overcome. That's why Jesus is happy to walk with us, because we are overcomers. We are a pillar in the temple of our God. We have embraced and we haven't shrunk from our cross. We have drunk the cup to the bitter dregs of it, embraced it and become thankful for every bit. We are like him. We are companions. We are co-companions in his crucifixion and we're co-companions in his resurrection. And we've come to bring the will and the eternal purpose of the Father's source on this planet. And all things will be made whole. Hallelujah. Yes. All things will serve the